Can you put your hands together for Jesus? No one can compare. No one can compare with him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated in the house of God. Turn your Bible to the book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. And if your Bible is a red letter Bible, you'll find out that it is all in red. These are portions of scripture where Jesus revealed and communicated the substance of his divinity. In John chapter 5 verse 30, it reads, I can of my own self do nothing. But as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man. But these things I say, that he might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Verse 37 is my emphasis, and the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. And ye neither have heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Hallelujah. Now, one of the issues with our generation is the lack of the knowledge of God. And Jesus was faced with a situation that was quite an affliction. And the situation was that he was trying to communicate God to a people that had no idea of what he was talking about. Hallelujah. When you look closely, Jesus was trying to introduce a personality. Because one of the foremost revelations we see in the book as it opens up is something that a lot of people are not willing to accept. But basic Hebrew reveals something. Basic Hebrew. In Hebrew, anytime you find I am, it is plural. Alright? So if we have cherubim, it is plural. Because we know that there is cherub, which is singular. If we have amim, it is plural. If we have Anakim, it is plural, because you know we have sons of what? Anak. Are you following? Now, so in the beginning of the book, the Bible says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And that Elohim is a plural form of God. And so the first revelation that comes to us in the word of God is the plurality of God. Just like in the New Testament, the word elder is plural. Are you with me? Elder. You know, in the church we have what? That thing we call elder. In the original context is plural. It's plurality of eldership that forms the government of every local expression of the body of Christ. That design is predicated upon the revelation of what? Of the... Did you get that? You didn't get it? Okay. So in this council of the plural, that's why they can make a statement like, let us make man. In this Godhead, all right, there is a mystery in it. And a mystery is that the personalities in the Godhead are never separate. They never exist separate from each other. But Scripture reveals that they are definitely distinct personalities, but not separate personalities, because they always cohere in one another. For instance, Jesus will say that the Father is in him and he is in the Father. That's a mystery. They were cohering in one another. But throughout the revelation of God revealed to us in the Scriptures, you will realize that there were distinct personalities and different personalities, but not separate. That's a mystery. Paul, revealing to us in the New Testament, says that the eternal power of God and his Godhead is revealed in the things that are created. Are you with me? Indicative of the fact that everything that finds expression in creation has a fingerprint of the Creator. There is something about the Creator that it advertises. So that the greatest testimony about the presence of the Creator is not the evangelist, but is creation itself. Because everything in creation is an expression of the manifold or the eternal basis of God's power and the concept of his Godhead. Are you with me? So that no generation can say it is excused from accountability. In the book of John chapter 5, where we read, Jesus was introducing to us and revealing to us a personality, and he called that personality the Father. Hallelujah. I hope you know the person that is talking is God that is talking. But he's introducing us to another personality. And that personality is who? The Father. It is needful for us to do a research of that personality. Because Jesus had a body. He had a limitation in communicating the eternal power of God and the Godhead of God. Because the people had never seen the shape of the Father. And they have never heard what? His voice. Who is the Father? Are you with me? As we study through the Scriptures, we stumble upon corridors where the revelation of this personality stands out. And one of the things, fundamental things, that we discover about this personality is that he had the privilege of design of the entire creation. The design of creation was the work of the Father. You know, when I shared this a little in Zaria, I tried to differentiate between an engineer and a technician. The difference between an engineer and a technician is that an engineer can design. A technician cannot design. He doesn't understand how to design. Because if the shaft is this capacity, it means that this other component must be that capacity. The technician does not know that. But the technician knows how to couple and to change parts. And that's why some time ago, a PhD holder in mechanical engineering dropped his engine. And when he dropped it, he found out that he could not couple it back. So he had to call a mechanic to do the coupling. The Lord give you understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. But you see, the work and the assignment of the engineer is not necessarily to couple the car back. It's to design the car. The technician cannot design a vehicle. But the engineer has the know-how, what it takes, the dynamics and the dimensions to design a vehicle that needs to go up for creation. And God the Father was that personality that was the engineer that is responsible for the design of creation. Are you still with me? In the book of Psalms 24, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says the world and them that dwell therein. Now that is land and survey ministry. Ministry of lands and survey. And it is the section in lands and survey that they call registry section. Where lands that are titled, they have a documentation of all titled lands within the state. You see, the earth is the Lord's and what? The fullness. You see, the difference between the Ministry of Lands and Survey and that charter that is quoted in that verse is that lands are, in Nigerian law, you can own a property of land and your certificate of occupancy is proof that you own it. But just in case they find oil inside, it belongs to government. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and what? You are with me. The reason for that information that was given to us in the book of Psalms was because there was contention in the earth realm as to the owner of territories. So they had to go to lands registry to understand the matter properly. The earth is the Lord's. Because in verse 7, there were some contenders that stood. When they were commanded to lift up the gates, they say, we have entitlement to the land. You are not with me. A herald came and announced, lift up your head, O ye gates. They say, hold on. We have some form of entitlement. That's why they had to go to land registry for confirmation. Upon going to land registry, they discovered that the earth is the Lord's. Doesn't belong to Fulani. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness, what is inside the earth, also belongs to God. The world, everything that we now construct on it, and them that dwell therein, still belongs to why? That is the privilege of the designer. Now, in the next verse, to buttress the fact that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the design pattern and the engineering pattern of the design was now brought to the fore. The way God designed it. Because the verse says, He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. By design, the earth doesn't have a foundation. So we can drill the ground and heat water and do boreholes and dig for wells. And that is an engineering flaw if you know what anything about building. Because if it's a waterlogged area, we need to sand fill. Alright? But God himself decided to establish the earth and then give it no foundations. It's a testimony of the fact that there's no continuing city in this world. That is the man that has the right of design. That was how he designed the earth. Anybody that comes and lives long enough on the earth should know that by design, this place cannot last forever. When Jesus was lecturing his apostles about marriage, they say, Kai, with these things you have raised, it is not good to marry. Jesus now say, wait, it was not so. Now, the only man that can make reference to the beginning is what is the designer. He has a document of a parchment that sustains the original perspective. Maybe you had a duplicate copy that was duplicated. So a straight line is a curve in your own. So you have generated something that is not consistent with the original perspective. Are you with me? The Bible says that God knoweth our frame. How can he know your frame? That's an engineering construction. That I know how much weight you can bear. That's why the Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted much more than what? Because the designer has an inventory of your dimensions. We are still talking about the Father. Bearing capacity in engineering talks about tensile stress and tensile strain. I'm there. How much load? If you bring a naked woman close to this one, his tensile capacity cannot bear it. So God, just before the woman is naked, God will give him grace to live. Because if he becomes naked, this man, his legs here will be shaking. The designer knows that. And we have varying bearing capacities. And the pathway that he crashed for us to walk upon is with due reference to all of these parameters. And I can go on and show you design. Alright, even in the natural, we don't have the same fingerprints. You know, and the greatest atheists that try to discomfit the concept of God have in recent times come to agree that in this creation, there is a designer. The more ungodly people try to probe and try to query creation, they have discovered that the hypothesis of men like Charles Darwin is unfounded in cognitive studies. Because even the cell itself is a machine. So if there is design, then there's what? A designer. And Jesus said, I will have problem communicating to you if you have never seen his shape nor heard his voice. Our generation needs to see the shape of the Father. He's called the Father because in the language in which that word was used, there is more to the word Abi or Abba than just our own natural English usage of the word Father. Are you with me? Because from that perspective, apart from a designer, he also reveals the source. The source. So when we check scriptures critically, you will come to realize that in the beginning, in the book of John, is more distant into eternal past than in the beginning in Genesis. Alright, so in our survey, we'll have to use John as one of the authors to actually query in order to understand the eternal past. Because of all the times when this word was written in the Bible, in the beginning, John has two accounts in his works. That means there was a special insight about beginnings that was granted him. You know, it was John that said, that which was from where? Now, so in the beginning, in the book of John, gives us a perspective. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, I hope you know that that scripture is putting the spotlight on the second personality in the Godhead, not the Father. Are you with me? The spotlight has shifted. Before, it was the plurality of God, but in this beginning, the spotlight is on a personality in the Godhead called the Word or the spokesman. There were various attempts in scripture to reveal these personalities in their uniqueness in their manifestation. So the Father is the designer, the Father is also the source. The life that flows in the Son flows from the Father. Everything that the Son came to manifest is an errand from the Father in keeping with the will of the Father. Are you with me? So the third thing we can write about the Father is that He is the sovereign. And that's my emphasis of this charge. And my read scripture is in Ephesians chapter 1. The sovereign. Now I want us to put those parameters. Those are strong parameters. The sovereign. Are you with me? What did I call him? The sovereign. Now, when we refer to the Father as the sovereign, we are referring to a personality that by an act of his authority, even before you came into time, when you still existed as a seed of eternity, the sovereign decided the direction you will go. Now, there's no personality that has that kind of authority. Are you with me? You know, Jeremiah said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. So you existed before you became form and shape. You existed as a seed of eternity. And a lot of engineering was done on you in that your state of existence before you showed up. Oh, you don't understand it. Hallelujah. You think you are born again today because you like God. There's nothing that begins with you. You are not an origin. You are a product of the interfacing of spiritual realities. Hallelujah. Your mind is too small to direct your steps. And that's why you did not choose your mother. I'm just trying to make us understand that there are powers stronger than our minds that are creating, interfacing and manipulating things overhead. But most times, when we are faced with challenges, we are locked up to your small mind and trying to understand issues. The sovereign. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained you as a prophet unto the nations. The guy was, or his destination was predetermined. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we see the will of the Father. And it's on the strength of capturing the will of the Father that we now have the doctrine of God. The doctrine of God is from the Father. Do you get that? Now can we check Ephesians? Oh my God, we don't have time anymore. As I round up, in Ephesians chapter 1, you are going to see some words used in the sequence of things. One of the words you are likely to see is chosen. Another strong word that only the sovereign is responsible for is predestinate. Now, what does it mean to choose? It means that there are alternatives. Now, before you came into this world, there were alternatives. Bountiful assortment of alternatives. But you came all the same because you were what? Chosen. How many sperm are in a log of, how many, yeah, are in a log of semen? How many? 500 million, over 500 million semen, which with each person, that each semen has a name. Now, God is so meticulous. The Bible says that the hairs on our head are numbered. He didn't say they are counted. So when the barber is barbing, he barbed number 0440. And he knew that it was 040 that fell. 04454. 04467. Now I'm just trying to make you... Oh, somebody is saying in the congregation, you are trying to make us small. No, you are small. You are so small. It is folly for you to live without his impute. You are a foolish man. You are going to be a victim of the intersection of the spirit realm. The only way you can control this matter is to take league with one of the parties in the game by faith. That your small mind that you used to learn, you used to study physics, it will lead you astray. The powers that are at work here are beyond space and time. So many assortment of possibilities. And the Bible says he chose you. And then somebody says, I can't find my life partner. You are not a mistake. You were chosen. He said, Pastor, there's a particular individual that comes to me after every meeting to remind me that the life partner issue is still pending. You know, when we begin to behave as creatures of time, and there's confusion in human life. It's an affliction. A man without trust doesn't have a God. It's like a pendulum just floating because there are powers for us to anchor with. I don't have time to work this thing out. But I was moving through Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. But no time. Now, listen to me. Jesus said something. He said, this personality called the Father, we need to see, it is possible to see his shape and to hear his voice. That's why we came today. This night, you will see his shape. And you will hear. Those are the two things that can bring you into alignment with the powers of the sovereign. It's either you see beyond time, then it structures you on the inside. You become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Or what? You hear his voice. And I said that in order for God to have worship and memory, a man must hear his voice and obey him. The memory of God among men is blotted out until a man hears his voice. And he does what? Now, in a further time, we'll look at that personality deeper. But I assure you that there are powers at work beyond blood and bone. And if you can come into alignment with these powers, you know, in all these things in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the devil was not mentioned. No, it's not a factor. That's the truth. The devil was not mentioned. See, the proof that we have grown is that a time will come when we stop mentioning Satan. We are so fused into that sovereign will and power that even though Satan plays ball around, we have decided not to consider him important. Let us rise on our feet. For today, you will see his shape and you will hear his voice. Today, you will see his shape and you will hear his voice. And when he calls, he will not call us in a group. neither will he refer to you as a stranger. He will call you by name. For the hairs of your head are numbered. Before you were formed in the womb, he looked upon you. And while you were still in the studio and he was trying to couple you together, the Bible says that, you know, scripture says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what it means? That's the designer. When he was coupling Chief Don, an effervescence was taking place. He was coupling the spirit component to be large enough to intercede for nations. He gave him a particular model of heart that is wider than Kwande, the borders of Konshisha. Are you with me? A heart that can bear the burden of nations. So there were, your own specification was different from my own, and the effervescence was good, as if he was doing magic. He was afraid when he was coupling the final piece. Because the Bible said that you are fearfully. Who was afraid when you were made? It was the designer. He was afraid. And then when we come into time, the devil wants us to feel that we are a mistake. No provision was made for me. And then you need to go to a prosperity school so that they tell you, next week, we have left that realm. It is so because you have not seen his shape nor head. Who told you that HIV will kill you? Who told you? He knew HIV would be existing when you will come. We exalt the sovereign tonight, that all men might see his light and his great power, that his name might transcend all generations, that the knowledge of him might rest upon us like a crown.